Good afternoon, church. Today's scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you.
You know, one of the things that I think we all like is to be treated well. Amen? I mean, we like it when people treat us well. I like it when people are kind to me. I like it when people are considerate of me. And so, you know, the Bible teaches us that what we like from others, we should do the same to them. Amen? You know, if people come to our summer concert today, which I was mentioning earlier, and they're treated with rudeness, if they're treated as if they don't belong, if they're treated as if they're not welcome, you think maybe they'll come back? No. No. Because people hunger for human kindness more than any physical thing. If people are kind, if they are received well, then they feel good. And so this is really what Paul is talking about as he goes through these fruits of the Spirit. And one of those, the one that we're reviewing today, is the fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness. And Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I think, for the reading. Larnell, for the reading. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truly to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. So it's clear here that he's talking about the church when he talks about one body. That's a tip-off, you know. And he says then, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Now that's packed full there, if you notice that. That little verse there, those two verses are packed full. First of all, he implies that it's not necessarily a sin to be angry. Did you get that? In your anger, do not sin. So, you know, Jesus got pretty angry when he went into the temple courts, and he overturned the table where the doves were and where the money changers were. He got pretty upset. There are other times I've been listening through the book of Matthew where Jesus got pretty upset with the scribes and the Pharisees, and he yells at them. At least the guy who's doing the reading yells. And if you go back and read through the scriptures, you can pretty well seems like Jesus probably was raising his voice a little bit. So, you know, God gets angry. Anger is a quality that God has, that he embodies. But when God gets angry, he doesn't sin. And here Paul is telling us how we can be angry and not sin. In your anger, do not sin. And then right behind that, he says what? Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And that's a tip-off right there. You know, when we get angry, you know what we like to do? Boy, we want to savor it. You'd think it was a cheesecake or a piece of chocolate with an almond in it. If you don't like the almond in there, just the chocolate. Maybe it's got cream in it or something. We savor it. We put it in our mouths and we slosh it around and we move from one side to the other and we just hold on to it. Because somewhere in our upbringing, in our conditioning, we have learned that there is a payoff to being angry. And we like it. I know people like that. A lot of them in my family. They just love it, man, when they're angry. They want to get angry. Some people don't feel alive unless they're angry. God would be saying to us, I believe here very clearly, in fact, In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. So, you know, that whole thing of just being angry with somebody from day to day, people don't speak to people in their own houses for days. I know brothers and sisters that don't speak now. They don't speak. It's been 50 years. They still don't speak. May I suggest to you, if you are a member of the church, if you are a Christian, something's wrong with that. It's crying out for a fix in the spirit, that we need to fix that with God's help, that we need to go back. And for whatever reason, you know, it's kind of like the feud of the Hatfields and the McCoys, right? Somebody did something, somebody way back when, and we've forgotten long ago whatever happened. But all we know is we're still angry. We're still angry. And we need to change that. We need to repent of that. God is calling upon us to repent. And why? Because verse 27 happens. You're giving the devil a foothold. You're giving the devil a place to put his foot so that he can have control in your life and in the life of those around you when you're always angry. Always angry. Always something's wrong. Always yelling. Never satisfied. See? And sometimes, you know, we use anger as a bargaining chip. If I get angry with you, you got to do what I said, right? You got to hop to and take care of it if I get angry. So we, you know, there are payoffs for anger. There's a reason why we get angry. We need to analyze in our own selves what it is that causes us to be angry. And anger does not speak kindness. That's our topic for today. When you're angry with people and you're acting in anger, you are not being kind. And a fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Didn't say a fruit of the Spirit is anger, did it? Although you can be angry, but it must be controlled. You need to control your anger. The Bible talks about book of Proverbs talks about a person who is not in control of their spirit. And you're supposed to be in control of your spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to be able to control what happens in your own spirit. And when your spirit is out of control, you're out of control, and you're subject to all kinds of problems if you're not in control of your own spirit. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands. Why? That they may have something to share with those who have needs. So, you know, God is always concerned about love. This whole thing. God is love, right? So he wants us to have things. And, you know, most of us think that the reason that we have things is so that we can have things. We think, you know, I was listening to this song. And I shouldn't bring this up because I really hadn't planned on talking about this song, and I don't know the words. I just happened to hear bits of it. And it was saying, I'm worth it. I'm worth it. And I thought, what a catchy song. This girl was talking and singing this in this real, sexy voice, and she's talking about how she's worth it, you know? And people feel like they're worth it, and they feel like that they're supposed to have everything. You're looking lost. Am I getting through? Are we communicating here? You know, the things that you have are not just for you. That's where I'm going with that. Do you realize that God gives you things so that you may share them with others? In particular, those who have need. Now, that's one of the biggest reasons why we settled in Harvey. It's because we saw a community that we felt that we could make a difference in, a community that we could love, a place that we could do something that had some worth. And you know, you could go sell in communities that are gated, gated communities. Everybody's got the big house. Everybody's got plenty of money. And you can go sell in those if you want. But, you know, the whole thing about Christianity is about loving other people. And one of the ways in which we love other people is those things that we have, we share with them. And, you know, so that's what Paul is talking about. He says, instead of stealing, we ought to be getting things with God's help so that we have to share with those who have need. And do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. What do you think he means by that word, unwholesome talk? That's a strange word, phrase, isn't it? All right, then he kind of comes behind it and he contrasts it so you can kind of guess what he's talking about. But instead, only what is helpful for the building, for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So evidently, unwholesome or unhealthy talk tears people down, does not minister to their needs, and does not benefit them. You see how the Bible does that? I know we used to do that with our kids a lot. And both our boys were not necessarily math geniuses, but they were wordsmiths. They were good with words. Because from the time they were little, we used words. And we'd be with our friends and say, why are you using all those big words with your kids? They're just little kids. I said, because I'm not going to baby them with the words. We would use a word, and then we would do like Paul did there. He would explain it in some way so that the kid could figure out what the word meant. And we just go on and use a word like they know what it means, and they figure it out. And then if they didn't know, they'd ask us, what does that mean? All right, so unwholesome talk. Unwholesome talk tears down. God does not want us to use unwholesome talk, anything that does not benefit and does not show love. Why, you think? Why do you think he would feel that way? Because God is love. He's love. He doesn't do anything that does not love. And he doesn't want us doing things that do not love, okay? Only that which is helpful. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And how do we grieve the Spirit? Evidently by using unwholesome talk, hurting other people. And get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander. You know, you're fighting, you're angry all the time, you're always raising your voice, shouting. I'm raising my voice for effect so you can stay awake, okay, so that you can hear. They teach us that when they teach you to speak, you know, you got to vary your voice or else people fall asleep on you. And it helps somehow to make the mind grab a hold of the things that you're saying. There are all kinds of reasons why. But, you know, bitterness. I saw a young man, my wife and I saw a young man, I think it was either this morning or yesterday. These days are running together for me now. And he was on a bicycle. It was a handsome young guy. He was all neatly dressed and clean. He was on his little bicycle. And he was probably 12 or 13, 14, maybe 15. And I looked at his face. You know, when you're in the people business like I am, and I've always been, you do learn to read certain things off of people from a distance. And I could look at him from a distance and tell that he was an angry person. His whole demeanor and his face and everything else just said, I'm angry. And my wife picked it up too, and she said, boy, he looks like he's really had a bad morning. I said, no, I look at his face, and it was not just a bad morning. This is the way he is from day to day. For whatever reason, this is the way this young man has developed already. He's only like 12 or 14. He's already developed that way. He's already an angry person. And if we're not careful, we let these things settle into our spirits. And they make us up and they become who we are. We don't want that. You know, slander, talking about people in ways that we shouldn't. And I know people who I know people who are slick and sly about slander. They don't actually slander people. What they do is they insinuate things, and then they let other people pick it up and carry on the slander. But they have really actually initiated it. You think maybe he's dipping his hand into the till? You think maybe, I wonder, they don't really say it, but what they're doing is they are sowing seeds of slander. So the other people talk about the person, and nobody can ever say that they talked about them, because they only sowed the seed. But they know what they're doing. It's again manipulation. You know, we do things in life to manipulate other people to get what we want, and people that do slander and that talk about people, that gossip about other people, they get a payoff from that. My wife always says this: You do things because you want to, actually. Eventually, even though you don't want to, you want to, you see? And so we have to be careful about those things. It is very important because in doing those things, we go outside of the law of God, and God is not pleased. We talked about things that grieve the Holy Spirit. These are things that grieve the Holy Spirit, along with every kind of malice. Just don't like people. I don't like him. I had one person tell me when I left the previous assignment, walked up to me at the going away party and told me, I never did like you. I said, really? Why is that? I did nothing to you while I was here. I only served you and your family. Why didn't you? Why is it? I don't know. I just never liked you. I said, okay. Well, good luck with that. When I was a kid, instead, I'll tell you about it. Be kind and compassionate to one another. This is the remedy. This is the fix. This is what we're supposed to do. Be kind and compassionate. Think about the other person. You know, Mr. Armstrong used to say, love is an outgoing concern. Pretty good definition. I don't know where he got it from. Pretty good definition. In other words, if you just harbor love in your heart, James talks about this, I can say, be blessed and filled, go in peace. It's just harboring love in my heart. But if I give you something that shows love, then I have shown love. I am really loving you then, rather than it just staying here in my heart. That's why we're going outside the walls today and delivering music and, you know, cold water and a blessing to as many people as God sends. Amen?
Amen.
Forgiving each other. Let me tell you. Again, this whole thing of forgiving. He comes back around and he says, be angry and sin not. And he comes back around and says, forgive people. Forgiving is hard, isn't it? Forgiveness is hard work. Oh, it's hard work. Mother Teresa and others said, to err is human. To forgive is divine. True. True. Do you realize, unless God stirs you in your spirit, whether you're a believer or not, whether or not, if God doesn't stir you in your spirit, you cannot really forgive people? Forgiveness is a godly trait. You just don't up and forgive people. I remember when he did this to me. I'll never forgive him. You hear people say that. And they got to take in assets one after the other. You know why? Because it's eating at them from the inside out. It's eating at them from the inside out. And it will destroy them and cause them to have all kinds of illnesses. And it will bring about big, big hospital bills and doctor bills and pharmacy bills. And it eventually will destroy their relationships with other people. Because, you know, nobody really wants to be around an angry person. Nobody wants to be around an unkind person. You know, if you treat me unkindly once, I'll say, huh, I wonder what's going on with that. You treat me unkindly twice, and I'll say, did you know that you treated me in an unkind manner? And then you treat me unkindly next time, pretty soon I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start backing away. Because I don't have time to be around somebody who is not only unkind, but cannot control their spirit enough to get a handle on it and stop being unkind. I can't fix that. And you're going to have to fix it between you and God and whatever else God may send. But, you know, nobody wants to be around a person who is unkind. Do you? No. No, you don't want to. You know, people treat you bad. I mean, after a while, you know, it's gonna wear at you. You're going to stop doing it. We had the teachers, when I was a kid, the teachers, I had great teachers. I told you that before. I am so blessed. You know, a lot of people have one teacher they remember from the time they were little. I got a whole room full of them. Unbelievable. And they taught us this little Proverbs when I was a kid. Remember this one? How many of you have seen this before? Okay, good. All right, let's go through it then. See no evil. Hear no evil, speak no evil. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. I'm sorry, Let me just stay with the thing. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. You know, they in the little graphics, they move these around. That's why I'm messing with them. But actually, this is the way that I learned it, so this is why I use this graphic. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. In other words, if you can be a, you will improve the quality of your character if you will not go out of your way to see evil. Some people love to see evil. They love it. If you're a nice person, you seem to be a nice person, they gotta pick at it until they find what is wrong with you, because they can't deal with the fact that you might just be a nice person. They gotta find that flaw in you so they can be centered in on that flaw in you rather than just saying it's a pretty nice person. And just being your friend. And you know, your flaw eventually is gonna come up. But why you got to focus on a person's fault? Why you got to look for evil? We go around looking for evil in our world. All the news is all bad news. Very seldom. The producers have to force them to introduce good news, because they would just want to talk. You know, a guy in the 60s, yeah, 60s made a song. Henley, Don Henley was a great guitarist, but he was also pretty deep thinker. And he came up with this song called Dirty Laundry. Have you heard that song? All right. So he talked about how the news was all bad, and it was intended to be bad, and nobody wanted to hear good news. And he goes on about this. So, you know, let's go back a second. So then what happens when people bring you dirty news, unhealthy talk? Do you listen to it and entertain it? People come to you if they gossip. If a gossip comes to you and tells you it's gossip, and you listen to it and you entertain it, you know what? They'll keep coming back to you with that gossip. But you know, something in us and our character ought to say, I don't want to sit around and listen to bad stuff about people all the time. When do you say, okay, now, let's not talk about this person this way. That's if we're going to talk, let's not talk about this person. Can we move on to something else or something like that? So see no evil, hear no evil. Speak no evil. Because, you know, if you see the evil and if you hear the evil all the time, guess what happens? You start speaking it. So it's a progression. So you do yourself a favor and God a favor and all the people that are around you, including the people that don't know you, and learn this little childhood proverb. I try to follow it. And here's another one, which I really love. Before you speak, ask yourself, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And does it improve upon the silence? I didn't get that one at first. How many of you are quicker in mind than I am, and you get that last one? I mean, you think you know. Okay, I'll explain to you then. Maybe you're not quicker than I am. Makes me feel better. is it true? Do you realize that everything that is true does not bear repeating? Just because it's true doesn't mean that you're supposed to go around and repeat it. Or say it. Some people think that just because something is true, it gives them every right in the world, and they're supposed to tell you. Kind of a Midwest thing, I think. And a Washington, D.C. thing. And a New York thing. And in a lot of other places in America. We think that if it's true, we have a right to say it. No matter what it is, we have a right to say it. And to say it in whatever company we want and as loud as we want. Don't be offended. I'm a Midwesterner. I've been here 23 years. And we're not the only people that think that. A lot of people in America think that if it's true, they have a right to say it and to say it as much and as loudly as they want. And they don't care who they hurt. They don't care if they're being unkind. They don't care if they're destroying people's lives. God is not pleased. Is it necessary? Some things we do are just not necessary. Paul says, you know, some things are true and all that, but they're not expedient. In other words, they don't really profit at the time. They don't really do anything good. It's not necessary. Is it necessary for you to say that? Need to really check it. Is it kind? What we're saying, how we're acting, is it kind? And then, does it improve upon the silence? In other words, did it add anything to what was already there? And it, silence, in other words, may be better than to say something that is hurtful and harmful to other people, unkind, unnecessary, even though it might be true. Pretty good test, I think, for what we say and what we don't say. And God will be with us if we will guard our minds. We have to guard our minds because the mind is a gateway to everything, right? And then we have to guard what we allow and to stay in there. Because some can, you know, I say this to my wife and my friends. Yeah, I have a thought. It ran through the back of my mind as little muddy feet. Hello? You there? It's little muddy feet. You know, you have things that run through your mind, but they don't have to stay there. It may not even be right. So if an evil thought runs through your mind, don't dote on it. Don't stay on it. Don't remain there. Let it go. Let it keep on going. And run on someplace else with its little muddy feet, okay? All right. James is powerful when it talks about the word. He says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I think one of the reasons why we shouldn't try to all be teachers is a lot of words. And there's a proverb that says that in many words is much sin. Okay, so you know, you find yourself talking a lot. Sometimes you just need to dial back a little bit, let somebody else talk, let them stick their foot in their mouth for a while, and let you know, that way you get a chance to rest your mouth a little bit and rest your feet. Yeah, you don't think my jokes are funny today. Why is that? Is that because it resembles you or something? Okay, all right. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. So, you know, what comes out of our mouths is a pretty good check of whether or not we have our spirits in check. You know, and again, I mentioned the scripture says that we should be in control of our spirits. All kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and sea creatures are tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. James talks pretty badly about what can come out of our mouths. You know, I was reading in Jesus talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, Matthew 12 and Matthew 15 as well, where he says, you know, it's what's inside of a person that comes out of them that pollutes them, not the things that we eat in our mouths. Yeah, because they were accusing his disciples of eating with unwashed hands. He said, understand, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. It's what's already in your heart that comes out your mouth that defiles you. You know? Jesus had a way of putting things. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of all kinds of poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. Our brothers and sisters, this should not be. Should not be. You know, because Jesus again said, make a tree good and its fruit good, or make it evil. He said, you know, a good tree gives good fruit. Bad tree gives bad fruit. Because they were saying that he did things by the power of the devil. And he said, no, I don't. He said, I'm a good tree, and I bring forth good fruit. But you're an evil tree, and you bring forth evil fruit. They got that, and they wanted to kill him. There were a lot of people who wanted to kill Jesus. There was a reason. He says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. Amen. By deeds done in humility, that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. So if we're going to be unkind, if we're going to talk about people, we're going to slander our brothers and sisters, if we're going to spew out all kinds of stuff about them, let's not try to dress it up and say the Lord told me to tell you that. You know, I have people do that. I have people say some horrible things and say that the Lord inspired them to say it. And that's a lie, you know. They're lying against the Lord. It comes down from the devil. That's what the Bible says. It's demonic. Where you have envy and selfish ambition. And, you know, a lot of times selfish ambition is what drives people to say and do things like that. They're jealous. And they want to dig at you and say evil things about you and run you down and have other people talk about you because they're jealous. Selfish ambition. There you will find disorder in every kind of evil practice. But wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate of other people and their feelings, submissive, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, and impartial and sincere. Amen? That's what the Lord calls upon us to do. And then it says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. And so that's what the Lord is calling upon us to be. To be kind to one another and to be peaceable. Because you can't be at peace with the person that you're always talking about and running down and sniping at. But God has called upon us to be peacemakers and to be kind. Amen? Are you willing to do that, brothers and sisters? All right, then. So look at the things that are in your life just as I have to look at the things in my life. And God encourages us to do so. And pick out those things that don't belong there. You know, there's this guy that says he carves ducks. And he carves them out of wood and he carves these ducks. The guy says, oh, man, nobody carves ducks like you do. What do you do? He says, I take a piece of wood, the right kind of wood, and I look at the duck. And then I carve off everything that doesn't look like the duck. And so we're supposed to be Christians. That's what we're striving for. We need to carve off everything that doesn't look like Christ. Amen? Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, we thank you for your blessings. Everything that we have comes from you. And we thank you that you give us the greatest gift of all while we're still in this flesh, and that is your Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, we're made partakers, as the scripture says, of the divine nature. We have your nature in us because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And through that nature, you give us these gifts. They are the gifts that belong to you. But because we have your Spirit and we are made your children, we have these wonderful gifts. Today we have talked, Lord, about kindness. I pray, Holy Father, that you will impart to our minds and understanding things that we didn't get even during the sermon. That through the week and the months to come and the years to come, that you'll teach us more deeply about this great quality of kindness that is in you. You are kind, Lord. Even when things don't go well, you're kind. I mean, when Jesus walked the earth and he was so tired he could almost fall over, and people would come to him and they were hungry or they needed to be healed, he stopped and he loved them and he healed them. Help us to also be kind to one another. And I pray, Lord, that as we do that you will increase the peace and joy in our lives and in the lives of those around us, that we may be a magnet calling people to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.